Amen, amen. Chapter 6, accepting God's word as your primary weapon, 2024. Accept God's word as your primary weapon, 2024. Ever hear of, what people say, bringing a knife to a gunfight? Don't make that mistake with the devil. You got to have the right tools for the job, right? Well, the devil's got the right tools, and he aims to use them on you. It's a fight, kids. Don't be deceived. You're in the ring. The bell clangs. Jesus is your coach, and the devil has one of his best demons dancing around your chosen head. They all have big guns, and you have God. Leave the knife, as they say. Have the correct moves and understand you're at stake. God is your best ally, and his word is the only weapon of choice. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You fought your way back. Okay, you all of you here, you fought your way back this far, and there's more real estate to reclaim. How much? Only God knows. How much? How much have you been stolen from? Only God knows. Getting back lost time from the enemy is not pleasant, and the enemy doesn't give you up easily. But the fight is honorable. The Lord fights with you for what is yours. The question is, do you believe? Joel 2:25, I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. The great locust and the young locust, the other locust and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. What is he saying there? He's saying that when you were disobedient, when you weren't there, and things happened to you, he will restore you. He will repay you for those times when things didn't go well. Okay, maybe you weren't disobedient. Maybe the locust really did come and eat your corn. God says, have faith in me. I will restore you. The word, capital W, is the weapon defensive and offensive. It's a weapon of defense and offense, taught in the ancient ways of the Lord. The only way to do that, the only way to learn or to be taught, it's impossible to understand without the discernment of the Holy Spirit. And we hear about that in Scripture all over. In the overcoming of battle after battle, the Holy Spirit teaches you along the way. And there is testimony. Yours. Your testimony teaches others that the Word of God is their primary weapon. Hope, you're helping those who cannot see yet, people who are still blind. Perhaps God is using you to open their eyes. Mark 4:11. This is Jesus speaking, and he said to the apostles, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables. What does that mean to me? Testimony. I'm telling you a story about me. I'm telling you a story about someone because I want you to see what God has done in my life. The mysteries of God that appeared in my life and helped me overcome. It's a powerful thing to understand the Word of God. Powerful. It's a powerful thing to understand the Word of God. Even more to realize the power of such great strength. Whoever just got on the phone, mute your phone. Mute your phone. A powerful thing to understand the Word of God. Powerful to understand. Yes, the Word of God is powerful, but to understand it, to realize the power of such great strength in one another, by the way, from the one true Creator, to see the Word in one another, oh my gosh. It is, however, reserved for the believer. I put a question mark on that. Is it reserved only for the believer? Well, like I said, this is my testimony. Who wants to bring a knife to a gunfight? I hope to God I understand that I'm a believer because I want everything in my favor and the favor of my children. I want to be the strongest I can be. And in order to do that, I got to know the word. Who wants to bring a knife to a gunfight, right? Who wants to say I believe in God only on the days when I'm trying to negotiate with God to give me something I want, right? In the book of Acts, there was a guy named Simon the Sorcerer, known all over the land. He was famous, right? A rock star, revered as a powerful magician, witnessed the power of the apostles. He, a powerful magician, saw what the apostles were doing. He saw it as a trick. He saw it as a trick, as they were healing people and helping people. And he offered to buy it from them. Cash. He offered to buy it from them. These miracles of God. Here's a good lesson for you. Acts 8:18. When Simon saw the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And Peter answered in verse 20, "Awesome. May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." Oh man, that's a harsh. 1 Corinthians 2:14, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of the Lord, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." You kind of getting it here? You are going to bring a knife to a gunfight if you don't understand the Lord. James 1:22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." Do what it says. Don't just listen to the word. Oh, yeah, I'm like, I call it the Jesus show, right? We go to church and it's the Jesus show. Oh, the worship. And we're worshiping God and singing the songs that we know. And we're raising our hands. And now it's time for Bishop McGillicuddy to come on. And everybody, yeah. It's crazy. The Jesus show. Don't just listen and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. The word can run off the devil himself. Do you know that? The word's powerful. It can run off the devil himself. Oh, yeah. Been shown to do just that. Jesus leaves us with the instruction on how to handle the weapon of the word. Matthew 4, 9-11. The devil says to Jesus, "All this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written." There it is right there. "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil left him and angels came and attended him. That can happen to you. That's why you have the word. I'm sure Jesus wants you to read this over and over again. In challenging political times that we're in all over the place right now, right is wrong and wrong is right. You heard John mention it today. Right is wrong and wrong is right all over the world. And the word, capital W, explains so very much about these times. Matthew 24:6. "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains." Oh, wow. That was written how many thousands of years ago? An actual book that tells the future of the world? And by the way, the future is not good. You know that song said, "The future's so bright I gotta wear shades"? It might be nuclear war and you have to wear shades. Revelation 3:10, "Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth." Wow, it's coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." This is a book that was written thousands of years ago, and this is so... is such a weapon against chaos and our fear, terror. There's much work to be done right now. We can't do anything about the world, but Scripture told us it's coming. It's powerful stuff. Chores, life, gifts of discernment to learn and be taught, to teach our children by example. We want to teach our children by example. 1 Peter 4, "God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Wow. Come on. I was just talking about that with Jonathan this morning. We use what we have for fellowship, and we learn about God by being of service to God. But strong, godly people are getting pretty hard to find, aren't they? It's not the first time in history believers are scarce. Posers have been everywhere in history. Ezekiel 22:30. I looked for someone, God says, I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I found no one. God was saying, I look for somebody to pray for these people. And I couldn't find anybody. See, it's not the first time all this crazy stuff happens. It just gets worse and worse and worse and more global. God is real. The word is real. The battle is real. You are real. I am real. Cash flow is real. Debt is real. Responsibility is real. The devil is real. Contentment without the word is not real. There is no contentment without the word. The whole world is not in contentment because we're at war. The whole world is at war. Without God's word, contempt for everything prevails. They sound the same, but they're not. Without God's word, we are in contempt at all times. We got problems with everything and everybody. Contentment comes from knowing the word. The devil can mess with you, man. If you're outside of the word, you don't have time for God. The world can mess with you. Well, it said in our very first scripture, you're not fighting men. You're fighting spiritual warfare. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, how many people read that and they're like, yeah, that's me, and it's not them? How often did I read it and I say, that's me? Well, not very often. I had to work up to just trying to do that. The arrogance of this scripture could be terribly difficult if you think you're doing all that and you're not. Never what is wanted, rather what is needed. We're always thinking about what we want. Well, what is wanted is promised by the liar. What I want is promised to me by the liar. What is needed is given to me by the Savior, and he never lies. And the Savior has already come and saved me. Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. Verse 17, I jump to verse 17, that you may be able to resist in the evil day and having prepared everything to take your stand. Learn, kids. Be strong, aware, awake, and able to recall the word. Hebrew 5:14, solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. How many people in church, you have to go back to the original thing? Well, you know, God loves you, and he died on the cross for you, and you got to go over it over and over again. When do you get to the part where you kick in? It's time for you to step up to the plate, to do the commission, to tell people the good news. It's hard. Lee Strobel, a former investigative reporter, I've heard him speak. He's amazing. In his book, he writes, and I quote, he was an atheist, by the way. Converted. He's got a great story. His wife became a convert and of Christianity, and as a news reporter, he went out to prove that she was an idiot and that this Jesus thing was anything but true. Well, it ended up that he became a convert. And he quote, I quote him here, to be honest, I didn't want to believe that Christianity could radically transform someone's character and values. It was much easier to raise doubts and manufacture outrageous objections than to consider the possibility that God actually could trigger a revolutionary turnaround in such a depraved and degenerate life. Wow, so God was the original, Jesus was the original turnaround man, right? Lee Strobel. Great guy, great speaker, great speaker. Charles Dickens, British writer, 1812 to 1870, says, I commit my soul to the mercy of God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I now most solemnly impress upon you the truth and beauty of the Christian religion as it came from Christ himself, and the impossibility of going far wrong if you humbly but heartily respected it. You can't go wrong if you humbly and heartily respected it, is what Charles Dickens is saying. Our Calvin Coolidge, the 30th president of the United States, he says, the foundations of our society and our government rest so much on the teachings of the Bible that it would be difficult to support them in faith in these teachings would cease to be practically universal in our country. That would be something, wouldn't it, if our president said that today? Wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be something? Best we all pray for November, kids, and vote. Take care of the people, places, and things God has given you. That includes freedom, America, and this very day today. John 14:12, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. That was a quote by Jesus Christ, the author and finisher. Greater works than these he will do. He is telling you, you're going to do greater works than he did. Oh my goodness, how could you do that with his help? Kids, there is no used to be, should be, could be, might be, want to be there. There is none of that. That's bringing a knife to a gunfight. Rather, we deal with the way things is, the way it is right now. When God said, what is it? When Moses says, what is your name? He said, I am. He didn't say, I'm going to be or I used to be. He said, I am. That's the way it is, man. The way it is I am. Is. The way it is. And when the destroyer comes, be strong in the Lord. But you have to be prepared to do that. You have to be working on it. You have to be working on that. Ecclesiastes 7:15. Don't be over-righteous. Neither be over-wise. Why destroy yourself? Do not be over-wicked, and do not be a fool. Why die before your time? It is good to grasp the one and not let go of the other. Whoever fears God will avoid all extremes. You see, you're not supposed to be talking about... you know, we can go with vanity, the lesson of vanity. You can go either way. Too much or too little, too stupid or too mean or too something. But in the fear of God here, what King Saul is saying, King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, whoever fears God will avoid these extremes. I'm all the way this way. I'm all the way that way. Mark 7:20, and he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. Oh, whoa, there it is. What comes out of a person is what defiles him. From inside, from within, verse 21 says, from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Dudes, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You're up against big-time stuff. Don't let the devil fool you into believing sin is okay. Or don't let the devil let you believe that he doesn't exist. Or that the God that's in the Bible isn't either or. God is either God of the Bible or he is not. You cannot have the promises or the protection of a God that you make up. Do you hear me, kids? You cannot have the promises and the protection of a God that you invent. It has to be the one in the book. You have to know that one. How do you know that? Because God's word is your primary weapon. Read it, man. Read it, man. By the time the bell clangs, like if you're talking about, the boxing ring, by the time the bell clangs and you're in it, if you have made up your own God, it signals the end of the match. By the time the bell clangs, signaling the end of the match, if you've made up your own God, as Peter realized, it was too late. It's too late then. In Luke 22:60, it says, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. We don't want to do that. That lets us know that we can deny Christ. And by the time we know it, It's too late. By the time we realize what we've done, it's too late. Now, Peter was forgiven. And we certainly want to be forgiven. We certainly want to do what is right. But I'm telling you, we can make these mistakes. And that is bringing a knife to a gunfight. That is the devil getting one over on you. I'm telling you, kids, like I said in the first line here, he sends his best to box around your chosen head. But what did David describe our Lord as? How do you know the real, one, true God? Well, gosh, listen to what King David said in 2 Samuel 23. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. That was David's description of God. Chapter 6, God's Word as Your Primary Weapon, 2024. Amen, kids. Pay attention. Be aware. Amen, amen, amen. John, let's get going.